Hello and welcome back to another episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. So 1 year ago, I interviewed someone who totally transformed my perspective on learning Chinese and particularly reaching high levels in the spoken language. So by now, listeners to this podcast will be familiar with Will Hart, the Mandarin learning phenomenon who became incredibly fluent in Chinese within the space of just a year and a half. Since I last interviewed Will here last year, we've become friends and collaborated on a number of different Mandarin learning projects. A few weeks ago, he interviewed me on his YouTube channel in Chinese, which I reposted as an episode on this podcast. I wanted to catch up with Will again to discuss what he's been up to since the last time we spoke. So in this episode, Will tells us all about how his learning methods have evolved over time. He also shares with us his experiences of immersing in Chinese, both in the UK, as well as on a recent trip to China, which was the first ever trip that he's ever done earlier last month. Okay, so Will, welcome back to the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast.
Hi, Misha. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's a pleasure.
So it's been a year already since the last time you came on the podcast, and we've become friends since then and remained in touch. But for the audience who maybe don't know what you've been up to since then, let them know a bit, fill them in, what kind of stuff you've been doing.
I've tried to obviously keep up with the Mandarin, probably a bit less than I was doing in that initial 1.5 years. I guess my focus kind of now is just keep improving my vocabulary, try and get more input and try and continue developing some reading skills as well. Those have been things that I've been working on a bit more. And I also went to China a few weeks ago. So yeah, it's been good over the last year and a half, I'd say.
Definitely. We'll get into all of that. But firstly, I guess you've kind of reached a stage now, or you had already by the time I interviewed you last, where you kind of already become fluent to a certain level. And now it's just more maintenance mode. It's more about maintaining your language ability. Is that kind of how you feel about it as well?
I do to some extent. However, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I'm kind of like, I'm always looking to learn new vocab and like try and find better ways of expressing myself. I'm trying to reach high levels of comprehension in like things, for example, reading. These are all areas that I'm working in, I guess to some extent it's been natural, and to some extent it's been with some focused practice, like trying to improve my accent as well. That's one of the other areas that I've worked on, I guess, over the last year and a half. I would say it's maintenance to the point where I'm doing less than I was. And I'm also trying to learn a bit of Spanish. I am still actively learning. I'm not just doing a load of input and speaking when I can. It's kind of like I'm still trying to learn new things, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. Yeah. And one of the things that came through last time was the kind of perfectionist element that...
Yeah.
In terms of your approach to learning Mandarin, I think for a long period of time when I was learning Mandarin, I really wouldn't have classed myself as a perfectionist, but it was partly the more I learned Mandarin, then partly meeting you and hearing about your story kind of made me like kind of learn some lessons from the perfectionist side of things, you know, both in terms of pronunciation, which like listening to your pronunciation at such a high level kind of set the bar in terms of what's possible. And also in terms of sentence structure, it was just really obvious listening to the interview with Rita that at that point when I was kind of comparing, as you naturally do, with my own Chinese at that point, I just noticed that you were much more idiomatic. The sentence structures that you were using were much more similar to kind of the way that native speakers talk than at that time what I was cobbling together. That's one of the main things I think I took away from that, and something that you've talked about a lot in your YouTube videos. So can you talk a bit more about like how you went about that and how you've gone about that, your approach to kind of, in particular, learning idiomatic Chinese and sentence structure, which is one of the most impressive things about your Chinese?
I think the big thing for me has been getting lots of feedback, both from input itself and also from mainly from native speakers getting lots and lots of corrections, because as I've said, I'm quite perfectionist about that, and I do like to try, if there's something wrong, I quite like to know about it and then to go away and improve on that. But I think the biggest thing for me is trying to include lots of sentence mining to try and get a variety of structures and get used to how to use them and practice using them in conversations. That's probably been the biggest area for me that's really helped to try and sort out sentence structure. I tried to include a very, very small amount of explicit study. However, that didn't really form a big part of it for me. For me, it was just seeing so many examples and like sentence mining every day. Those are the things that I think even to this day, like really help with trying to speak in a way in which a native speaker would, and trying to get as close as possible as I can to that. I think my first step is that I'll have some kind of form of input. So that'll be like reading, or, you know, like watching a TV show, a podcast, or it could be from a native speaker. Like if I hear my friends or someone that I know like use like an interesting or useful sentence in Chinese, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. Like I need to know that. And the first step for me is like, I'm going to make a note of that. from there, the second step is I'm then going to find a way to put that in Anki in a way that's easy to remember and like facilitates my use of that sentence. So I'll try and put that in a close to the Eastern format where the context will kind of reveal to me what the sentence is, and like I'll be able to kind of use that to kind of go with, to be able to recall the sentence accurately. And then I'll practice trying to use the sentence in different ways and like kind of make slight changes to it, etc., and see whether I can do something that I like to call like Chu Fan San, which is like applying it to other contexts. And then the next step from there is like what I call Huo Xue Huo Yong, which is basically like you try and use it in lots of, like you've learned this new way of expressing yourself, etc., you're going to try and use it as much as possible, then get lots of feedback as to where you've been using it wrong, or like if you've used it well, like try and get that feedback from native speakers and also from input. Like you might notice like when you're like listening or reading that people are using that expression or that sentence structure in a different way to you are than you are, so then you can go and make changes to that. And then it's kind of like a cycle from there, like going back to stage one again, finding new sentences and doing the same thing over and over again. That's what it looks like for me at the moment.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And just for anyone who's listening, Will and I are actually putting on a series of masterclasses, and they're covering Chinese tones as one of them, but the other one is sentence mining. So for anyone who's particularly interested in that technique, Will and I are going to be running these sessions. They're going to be an hour long, involve practical activities as well as like talking through the detail of the theory of the technique of how to use it, and then going through that practically. So I'll put a link to that in the description as well. But back to your kind of story, since you've kind of last time we spoke, one of the things that I should go back to was shortly after we spoke last on this podcast, which was one of the, I think the first time I'd ever met you. Shortly after that, we both had an experience together where we went on the very first Mandarin retreat. Yeah. And Mandarin retreat is a trip co-organized by myself, which I started doing a year ago, where we get Mandarin learners together and Chinese native speakers together and spend the entire weekend only speaking Mandarin Chinese. And this for me was like the first experience where I'd been totally immersed in Chinese, because like you, I'd never lived in China. I guess for you, it was, what makes your story so unique is that you learned Chinese totally in the UK, but at that time you were really immersed in the language because your social circle was like largely Chinese.
And
your girlfriend is Chinese and you're surrounded by the language a lot. But can you remember that time? Like, what was that like for you when we went on that first Mandarin retreat?
It was really, really cool. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was quite nice just to spend a whole 2 days, or 2.5 days to some extent, like just speaking Mandarin. And I think both of us kind of felt towards the end of it like we had learned a lot. There was a lot of new like vocab and like sentences that perhaps we hadn't encountered before, because we were going into situations that we hadn't usually experienced in Chinese before. So we had gained a lot from it in that respect. And also it was just, it's just a lot easier to express yourself if you've been doing it for 2 days just fully in Mandarin. Like you just find that your Mandarin kind of flows a bit better, I would say. I don't know, would you say you had a similar experience?
Yeah, so I think like for me it was even more stark. It was kind of exactly what you're describing, but like even more so, just because at that time, like I was in kind of a different situation to you in the sense that I didn't really have an immersive Chinese learning environment. Yeah. Like I had a few Chinese friends, but I might meet up with them like once a week. I was working in like a totally English speaking environment, like full time. So with my Chinese friends, I'd maybe like call them, like speak for an hour, like once or twice a week, that kind of thing. So I was getting quite a lot of speaking practice in, but it just wasn't the same kind of level of immersive environment that you might have if you like live in language, or if you've kind of really created a super immersive environment like you had with your social circle in Manchester University and that kind of thing. Like for me, it was just a total revelation. Like it was just a kind of glimpse into the benefits that real immersion, being totally surrounded by the language and totally always having opportunities to like not just learn new sentences, phrases, but immediately use them.
Yeah.
And so like immediately like have them reinforced, and just having 1 weekend of that, obviously that wasn't enough to totally transform my Chinese level, but it was enough for me to get a sense of what that's like. And I learned more in that weekend, I would say, than in the previous maybe 3 months of learning in my bedroom at my desk at home, kind of thing. So for me it was a really awesome experience.
No, definitely. I would say like to some extent I was similar to you in that, like obviously I had lectures and stuff, so kind of during term time it would just be the time outside of lectures and studying and all the rest of it. And obviously medicine is quite hard degree, so I had to study a lot, and I still do. But the time, and then obviously in the summer holidays, like as long as my Chinese friends hadn't gone back to China, like I'd have a lot of social events in Chinese. But I still wouldn't say, apart from like if I was spending like a whole couple of days with my girlfriend and we didn't speak much English, I still wouldn't say it wouldn't compare with like what we did on that weekend, because it literally was very intense in that we literally spoke Mandarin for like all day, every day for 2 days, and we spoke a lot. It wasn't like, for example, that with, you know, with kind of like speak, have a chat for a bit and then go off and do our own thing. It's that we were literally stuck in that Mandarin immersive environment, always speaking, always like in some extent being forced to speak for like 2 days straight. So it's a really like an active form of immersion. It wasn't that kind of immersion, you know, where you kind of sit in your room and watch 8 hours of TV or whatever. It was like we were actually speaking all the time. So I think it felt quite intense, but like in a good way.
Yeah, the other thing was like what I found as well was there was like a mix of levels as well. And I don't know if you found this as well, but sometimes I think one of the best ways to improve a language or learn a language or have information cemented is and retain it is to like teach the language yourself. So when there's people at a slightly lower level, like there were people on that retreat, I think both of us were at a level where we were kind of raring to go. It was like we've never had this opportunity before to be totally surrounded by language, but we're at a level where we're totally ready for that and be able to handle anything that came up. And then there were other people who were kind of more a lower intermediate phase where like it was a bit more challenging, but they still got loads out of it because they had all those opportunities, and also they're surrounded by like higher level learners. And I just found it really useful to every time I learn something, or I'd be able to like kind of basically teach and help lower level learners, and then that really helped me retain the knowledge as well and retain the language as well.
Yeah, I think it was really useful in that sense. I think once you reach like quite a high level, obviously like your comprehension is so high that you can kind of guess, like even if it's something new, you can kind of guess it quite easily, and then you're like, oh, that's a new word, and then you check with a native speaker and like you work out how to use it, make a note of it, and then you can go away and sentence mine or whatever you're going to do with that, like you said, teach it to other people, etc. But at a lower level, you're just always encountering like so much new stuff, which is great, because you kind of just need that. You need to be aware of like how much there is left to learn. You need to kind of know, like get used to the ambiguity as well, like not fully understanding, but trying to do your best and trying to make your way through that immersive environment, get as much out of it as you can. I think it was great for like for
I think one of the really interesting things that people might not know is that like up until very recently, so you've just returned from China. And so this was basically a couple of weeks ago, you went to China for a couple of weeks, I believe. And this was the very first time that you've ever been to China. So up until a couple of weeks ago, you'd never been to China. So all the videos you've done and everything you've done on YouTube was basically all done having never been to China. So this was the first time. I was wondering what was that experience like then? Was it when you first landed in China and suddenly you're in this like country you've never been to? What was that experience like?
It was mixed. It was kind of like a mixed experience. It was like going to some extent, it was like going to another world and having like a culture shock. But at the same time, it felt like strangely familiar, because obviously I'd had glimpses of what China was like from like being surrounded by so many Chinese friends, like having this somewhat immersive environment in Manchester. But it's just not the same as actually going to the country and being there. I think from a language learning perspective, like both are effective, but obviously it was a very different experience, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I stayed in China for 3 weeks. I kind of had 2 weeks taking part in like a university summer camp, and then 1 week kind of, well, not a full week, but like most of the week kind of doing some filming, which was filming in like a smaller city, which was really cool.
That's awesome. And the other thing was that you went to Beijing, and like when you were in Beijing, like obviously your accent and your Chinese is very, very, very Beijing style. So what was the reception then when suddenly this foreigner lands and he's speaking like perfect Beijing Mandarin? How did people react to that?
I wouldn't say perfect. Yeah, it shocks quite a lot of people, I guess. Like I was expecting not much of a reaction, because obviously if you get a reaction in the UK, it's like it's kind of normal because no one in the UK speaks Mandarin, right? But when you go as a foreigner to like to Beijing, I think it's because in the recent years I had the foreigners obviously in China like less and less because of the situation like with COVID and stuff. So yeah, in general, it was like, well, most people were quite shocked, and also very, very friendly, because if you're making an effort to like learn someone else's language, obviously they're gonna take that in a really good way. So yeah, it was great. I really liked talking to like the taxi drivers there. Actually, it's quite funny because they're like, especially the old ones, they have a very, very thick accent. It's like, anyway, it just was quite interesting, I found. Yeah.
That's amazing. And tell us more about then what you got up to in terms of while you were in China then.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's kind of introducing a city. And yeah, that was my first time doing in-person filming in a small city called Kaifeng, which is like in Henan. So yeah, it was quite cool because I had to go on like the Gaotie, on like the high speed train to go across. And obviously that was a new experience for me as well, because we don't have that in the UK. So yeah, and then in terms of the summer camp, that was kind of like a summer camp organized by Manchester Confucius Institute, and also in partnership with like Beijing Shifan Daxue, Beijing Normal University. So that was really cool. We had some like lessons in like characters and radicals and stuff like that in the mornings, and then in the afternoon we'd kind of like, the teachers would take us out and we'd just go around the city, go to all the tourist attractions and all like the top places like that. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I had a chance to go on a similar one a couple of years ago with I think it was, well, a bit longer ago than that now, 2018. And it was with Confucius Institute Leeds, and they took us to Beijing and Xi'an, and like we went around sightseeing, all that kind of thing. If anyone has an opportunity to go on a trip like that, definitely do, if those opportunities are available, because I didn't actually learn that much Chinese on that trip, I have to say. At that time, I didn't really know very much Chinese, and everything surrounding us was very conveniently in English. But in terms of a cultural experience and just in terms of a traveling experience, it was really great. So the other thing that has changed since the last time we spoke is, one of the things that struck me when I spoke to you last was that I think because your kind of Chinese learning story up until that point was so like different from almost everyone else's, in terms of like most people, they slog away for kind of 10 years and they still haven't really done anything with Mandarin. You hear this so many times, they still haven't really reached a level that they're satisfied with at all, especially in terms of the spoken language. And your experience was so different to that. And I got the sense that last time we spoke that you hadn't really met that many other learners, and so you might not have been fully aware of how different your story was to them. But I think since then, we've worked together, actually, like, as I said earlier, with the masterclasses, and you've also got your YouTube channel. So you've like put a lot more effort into like helping other learners since then. So what perspective has that kind of given you? Has that kind of changed your perspective, both on your own story and how unique that was, and also the challenges facing other learners?
I think it's a really interesting question. Yeah, it definitely has changed my perspective, because obviously like you just said, like I hadn't really met that many learners up until that point when we did the podcast and stuff, and then I started getting involved in some other things like you mentioned. I think what I realized quite quickly was probably learners aren't, they probably have a very limited time to spend on Mandarin. And if you're not using that time well, then like obviously it can take years and years and years before you reach a level which you'd be comfortable like communicating in the language and things. So yeah, so like you said, it's kind of those two problems. It's being able to, well, three I'd say, it's like being able to communicate well becomes like a bit of an issue, probably from lack of practice and lack of confidence, like a lot of other issues going on there. I think tones and pronunciation is like another big thing that a lot of learners struggle with, which I've kind of come across. And then I'd say, is like you mentioned earlier, this kind of whole sentence structure idea, like how to structure a sentence like a native speaker, is a really hard thing to do. And it takes an awful lot of practice. And knowing how to do that and like how to actually practice that and knowing it's a problem, can also be an issue for quite a lot of learners, I think.
Definitely, because there's this idea sometimes in the Chinese learning community, language learning in general, that, you know, just like do a little bit every day and eventually you'll get to a really high level. And I think with Mandarin, like you kind of do, if you want to get to a high level, you kind of do need to kind of think seriously about efficiency. And otherwise you can be spending decades and never be satisfied and never get to any kind of level that you might call fluency or anything, whatever word you want to use, but like that you find you're satisfied in your ability to communicate with others. I think with Mandarin, for that, like I have found definitely I needed to kind of find efficient and effective methods. It wouldn't just do to like, you know, read a little bit every day and hope that one day I'll just come out speaking perfect Mandarin. So that was definitely something I got from your story. Because I think all the comments that you tended to get online on those videos when you first came to everyone's attention, people saying, you know, like, I've been learning for 10 years and I'm like not even a tenth of the level that he is and this kind of thing. So I just, and like, I think there's two kind of conclusions people draw from that. One of them is this guy is just an off the scale genius and I shouldn't like compare myself to him. And then my reaction was more like, yeah, he's clearly like got some talent here, but like there's probably a lot we can learn from him in terms of methods. And that definitely came out when I last spoke to you, I think.
I find it a bit strange when people are like, oh, this guy's a complete genius. I think it's not that. I think it's a lot more to do with like, I was lucky in terms of the environment that I was able to create. Like I still have a lot of Chinese friends today, and I had loads and loads of Chinese friends back then, loads and loads of opportunities to do so. I think I just tried to, and I still do, like try and make use of my time as much as I can to like improve my Mandarin. So it's making efficient use of that time in methods that I'm like pretty sure are going to improve like my main goal and help me reach my main goal, which is obviously to try and achieve fluency. And I think it was also for me like not putting too much attention on like focused study of characters and like how to write, like those are kind of things that I put off for quite a while. So as a result of that, like kind of my reading for a while was it was okay. Like I could definitely read, but then obviously I'd have problems with some character recognition, things like characters that look similar. I kind of just accepted that and went, I'm going to get really good at speaking first. And then I'll go back. And if I want to, like I can improve my reading a bit more, or I can learn to write. Like it was kind of building that base of speaking first by like lots of dedicated practice and making efficient use of time and like using what I thought, and I still think are like quite efficient learning methods to do so, which are a bit different from like what most people would recommend nowadays.
Definitely. So I think in terms of the future then, so we've mentioned the masterclasses that we're going to be running together to go through in more detail the kind of techniques that have been really effective for both of us in being able to communicate effectively in Chinese. And so what else is in the pipeline for you then, both in terms of, you know, helping others learn Mandarin? You've got your YouTube channel. What are your plans for that? And also in terms of learning Mandarin yourself, what are your ambitions next?
I think firstly with the YouTube channel, like I've got a few kind of areas I'd like to go into. I quite enjoy doing these kind of podcast style kind of videos, I guess, with Chinese friends and also with like advanced learners. Both focused on language learning and also on other interesting topics and culture and things like this. I think that's an area I'd definitely like to keep working on. In terms of like my language learning and where I'd like to go, I've kind of got a few goals. Like I'm considering maybe doing a master's in China. So obviously for that, I would need like a really big vocabulary. So I think it's a bit more than like kind of what I've got at the moment, because that would be really, really hard. And it would also mean I'll have to get a bit better at the character stuff. So I've been learning like the common radicals and things like that. And I've been reading a lot. I think as well, it's just kind of sharpening my fluency and making sure there's always more vocab to learn in Chinese. It's like, there's like a nice chongyu, like xiu chitiang. It's like the studying kind of never ends. It's like a lifetime, isn't it? So I think it's just keeping up those habits that I've put in place and trying to push forward as much as I can. Yeah, that's what I'd say at the moment.
Definitely. I think reading is definitely another area that also I've moved back into. I say back because during the lockdown, I was mainly reading. My main Chinese learning method was reading novels at that point. But then I kind of shifted to my focus to speaking. I kind of like neglected reading a little bit. So I've kind of been moving back in that direction more recently. So anyway, it's been great to catch up with you. And I put a link to the description of your YouTube channel, and I recommend everybody check that out. Really interesting to like listen to your advice. Most of it is in Chinese now, and also interviews with interesting guests, including myself. I was on one of those podcasts recently, and also great, Professor Karen Chung has been on this podcast before. So anyway, I hope you continue doing that, because it's been really insightful and useful for the rest of us. It's been great having you back on the podcast, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon.
No, thank you so much, Misha. No, it's been great to be back on the podcast, and yeah, I'm looking forward to the next time.
Hey there, thanks for listening to this episode of the I'm Learning Mandarin podcast. If you're currently looking to improve your Mandarin speaking skills, you might like to check out my Peak Mandarin newsletter, run by me and my friend Will Hart. We share exactly what you need to do to become fluent in Chinese based on our experience. Subscribe to the newsletter, and we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, Lessons from a Chinese Learning Phenomenon, which tells the story of exactly how Will Hart learned to speak near native level Chinese within a 1.5 year period, how I put his techniques into practice to become fluent myself, and how you can too. To subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to peakmandarin.com or click the link in the description. That's all for now. Until next episode, goodbye.